This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Twilight Zone, do you not? Those of you older remember, old enough to remember Rod Serling? That was a huge hit. The Twilight Zone. They even made a movie. Or two, possibly. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We're always out in the clouds. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, March the 23rd already. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Matt Weidinger. He's with the American Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk about unemployment benefit fraud during the pandemic. You know, there's plenty of fraud going on these days with the way they're doling out more money all over the place, including unemployment benefits. So we'll talk about that with him. And as the calls for honesty on the border crisis increase, both Joe Biden and his vice president, Kamala Harris, blow off a visit down there. In fact, Kamala was caught laughing about it. I think it was kind of a nervous laugh. She realizes she doesn't have a good reason for not going there. Also, Biden is being called out. No Asian Americans in executive cabinet positions. Isn't he the guy with diversity on his mind all the time? So we'll talk a little about a bit about that and more with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And in another edition of Campus Quackery, we're going to go to a high school in California where a girl is muffled from singing the national anthem. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, as a tribute to our Twilight Zone music, the top 10 UFO sightings in recent history. What were they, right? So we will bring those to you. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best haircut I have ever found. Best haircut you can get. All you got to do is call for an appointment. They are open Tuesday through Saturday, 8:30 to 5 through Friday, and then Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m., 727-733-3773, 733-3773. While I'm at it, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday. They precede our show. They're great, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Start your day with Paul and Tracy Allen. And sometimes Tony, their son. He's a great guy. Does a lot of nice things. Good Morning Clearwater, 8 to 10 a.m. Okay, so, eventually diversity comes around and bites you. When you're calling for people to do this and do that and have more of this and have more of that, it never works. In the long run, what happens is you get caught. Hoisted on your own petard. A Washington Post reporter has drawn criticism after she called out Biden for having no Asian Americans on his executive-level cabinet posts. With the confirmation of Labor Secretary Marty Walsh this week, Biden secured all 15 of his top-level cabinet picks. No Asians. Now, in the meantime, they boast about their record diversity. Well, right now, I guess the race of the month is Asians. You know, it's fashionable right now to be an Asian. Why? Because of what happened in Atlanta, that tragedy at the massage parlors, because of the pandemic. all of these things, because of the strange relationship that Biden has had with China, he and his son. So right now, that's the, flavor of the period, to be Asian. But no Asians on his cabinet. So, of course, there will be some comments about that. You got to remember that when you are, when you don't like the way our country is run, when you don't like the Constitution with the liberties that it affords people, when you want to see what you think is righteousness, you have to divide people. You have to get them upset about the current status. So the Democrats are in the business of division. If they can't divide and find a reason to get people upset with other people, then they don't exist. They don't exist because they are not the party of individual freedom. And that's what our country was founded on. Allowing people to come here, work hard, and do well. And we kind of set the table, don't we? Isn't that what the Constitution did? Set the table so that when people sat down, away they went, you know? They were granted that freedom as long as they didn't hurt other people to go get it. But you see, Democrats don't like that concept because they feel there are groups of people or certain people that are left behind. Well, those people that are left behind aren't left behind because of the nature of our government or Constitution. If they are left behind at all, it's their own doing. Maybe they don't work as hard as the other person. But they have the opportunity to succeed in our country. So the Democrats don't like that. So they've got to figure out a way to take money from wealthy people and redistribute it, or blame one race for the troubles of another race. We've been blaming white people for the troubles of other races in this country for how long now? Forever? I mean, the guilt that has been built up amongst white people. And I mean, generations upon generations have people have gotten away from all of the trouble in the Civil War, and yet white people are still being blamed. They want reparations. Now the city of Evanston, Illinois, has voted reparations. I worked in Evanston for several years at some radio stations there. They are just north of Chicago. They have voted to pay reparations to black people in their city, because it is a city, as long as you can prove you've been discriminated against. How's that going to work? How is that going to work? How are they going to get money? How much money are they going to take from certain people and give to other people? The thing will fall apart. I mean, it's not going to work, and somebody will sue about it. But this is the way the Democrats operate. Look at what they're doing with transgenders and pitting women against men. That's their fuel. They've got to break people apart. And of course, Abraham Lincoln said a house divided against itself will not stand. And this is what's happened. Look at the chaos we got in this country right now. I mean, they willfully divide people. It's their game plan. But it doesn't make our country run well. I guess eventually we learn the hard way when we see all of this happening. We always come back around, don't we? You know, we always, no matter how bad it will get, we will always come back around to individual freedom and allowing people to do well. I mean, we've forgotten it to some extent in this country right now. We've forgotten what made us great. What made us great was the we allowed people to go out, and if they worked hard, look at how we were number one in everything, you know, in medicine and in creating products. Why did we, a little country, you look at the size of our country in comparison to the size of other countries' geographic, why did this little piece of land do so well when everybody else didn't, you know? Well, it was because of the freedom we figured out at the very beginning what made things work. And now we're losing that figuring out. We're forgetting it. We're forgetting what made things work in this country. With every generation, we have forgotten more of what make things work. Okay, anyway, let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about unemployment benefit fraud during the pandemic with Matt Weidinger.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. And I had a story here about this pandemic unemployment benefits fraud. It could top $200 billion. Can you believe that? A significant portion of unemployment benefits to Americans struggling during the coronavirus pandemic may be getting stolen by fraudsters. Wow. So we've got, we've got Matt Weidinger, who is a Roe Fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, joining us. He has penned a piece for American Enterprise Institute about this unemployment benefit fraud. Matt, welcome to Freedom Works.
Glad to be with you.
So, you say in your piece that since this virus pandemic started, we've legislated over $4 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars, in emergency spending. That is such a scary number. And a major part of it is unemployment benefits. So I'm not surprised that people are going to take advantage. Is it really bad, though? Is it really incredibly bad, the fraud that is going on with unemployment benefits?
It is literally off the chart. So unemployment benefits in normal years, about 10% of them are misspent, mostly overpayments to people, some underpayments for some folks who don't get the checks that they're entitled to. But that 10% figure has now been replaced by something more like 30 to 35%.
You're kidding.
Fraud and abuse.
30 to 35% of the money is abused?
Yeah, and that's not my number. That's the experts who are actually assisting the states in trying to put a stop to some of this, and that's what they're seeing in real time.
This is horrible. So so you talk about this a little bit, and of course, you know, once they send this money out, they don't know where, what, I don't know. I mean, you got to base it on integrity, people telling the truth, this, that, the other thing. Are they running it through the states? I mean, how is this unemployment pandemic thing working?
So states normally pay most unemployment checks. And what the federal government has tended to do in recessions is say, well, we're going to give the state more money for bigger checks every week or longer checks stretching beyond the period of time that states would normally provide that money. But obviously, when the federal government is picking up the tab for those additional benefits, the states are less than enthusiastic in making sure that the right people are paid the right amount of benefits, because a lot of them look at this as just basically stimulus from Washington. So there's less interest in making sure the right people are paid benefits when it's somebody else's money, as opposed to the state's own money that they have to raise by raising taxes on workers.
So this money is therefore going out to people, and somehow I imagine there are actual businesses being made out of this frauding, this fraud, you know, where they figure out a way to get a lot of that money coming in, or we'll hear something about that down the road. It always happens when we are sending out, you know, bucket loads of money all over the place. We obviously lose track of it. But is this also not a disincentive to go back to work?
Sure. I mean, you know, so one of the key programs that Congress created early on was the additional money to individuals on top of their regular state unemployment benefits. That was the $600 a week that was added from basically April through July last year. That's now down to $300 a week added on top of regular state unemployment benefits. But both of those numbers are really without precedent. The only other time the federal government has done anything like that was back in the Great Recession, when the feds added $25 a week. So you're talking many levels of magnitude greater. And, you know, the $600 started out as a well-intentioned idea that if government lockdowns are going to be freezing people out of work, well, we need to figure out a way to make them somewhat whole. But naturally, like any government solution, it was a big square peg into a lot of round holes. The $600 was designed to make the average person whole. A lot of not average people out there. The $600 plus the regular state unemployment benefit actually amounted to more government benefit than the wages that people were making when they were working in about two-thirds of the cases.
Wow.
And even the $300 now is still more when added to state benefits than about half of the people are making when they're working. So,
right.
Yeah, the incentive is pretty clear.
Wow. We're talking with Matt Weidinger. He is a Roe Fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, and he wrote a piece for AEI that you can find, by the way, right now on the website. Unemployment benefit fraud could be the fourth largest stimulus program. In fact, you say in your piece more than $200 billion, with a B, of benefits may have been pocketed by thieves. I mean, oh my God. You know, even this kind of thing, because we're sending out so much money now, right? Now we're talking about another, I think I heard $4 trillion for infrastructure or something, some god-awful number. I mean, we're now in the trillions. Nobody knew what a trillion was when I was growing up. You never used the word because there was nothing to use it with. And now we're talking trillions, right? But this is a measly $200 billion, but thieves are pocketing this. How is that? Is there any idea how they're doing it? Is it just all over the place? Go ahead.
Yeah, so a lot of it is actually international crime syndicates. So you talked about businesses cropping up. These are foreign operations in places like Nigeria, China, Russia, that have been identified as purposely seizing people's identities, you know, stealing people's identities by purchasing those credentials on the dark web or however they get those credentials, and then applying for benefits in one, two, multiple states on behalf of people who have no idea that their unemployment benefits are being claimed, or even that, you know, that their identities are compromised. And so, you know, there have been cases like this one thing called Scatter Canary, which is a Nigerian crime syndicate that early on, this is one of the first indications we got that these programs were basically being systematically looted. In Washington state, they identified last May $500 to $600 million that was lost to this one sort of crime syndicate that was attacking the system. And what we've seen is those organizations are basically attacking every weak spot they can find, in effect every state unemployment benefit office, until they get hit, until they get through and they get benefit checks paid out.
I tell you, this is one scary scenario. So is the government doing anything about this? I mean, are we just going to continue to send these things out? I mean, is there any way of slowing this down? Or will it continue as long as we continue to send these premium unemployment benefits out during this virus? What do you think?
I would say the government is aware of this and has taken some so far half measures to try to address it. So the biggest problem here is identity theft. Individuals who are not the person who is claiming the benefit, right? So it's like somebody taking on your identity and in the state of Kansas claiming unemployment benefits on your behalf, even though you never worked there, you never lived there, and seeing if the Kansas Department of Labor is dumb enough to send you out the unemployment benefits, despite really you not being eligible. The states have started to take some measures to prevent people with stolen identities from claiming benefits, but a lot of this is sort of left to the state. The federal government has been slow to tighten the restrictions on some of these programs, and in fact, in some cases, the restrictions don't really exist. So the most notorious of these programs is something called Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. That program was started for the first time last March, and literally it let individuals self-certify.
Oh, great.
Basically determine for themselves whether they were eligible. And in a, you know, kind of amazing feat for an unemployment benefit program, it literally didn't require the person to show evidence that they were previously employed and collecting wages or any, you know, earned income for purposes of determining whether they're now eligible for unemployment checks. So those are the types of things that really need to be systematically overhauled. Identity needs to be confirmed in a, you know, lock sure way, and individuals need to prove that they were actually working before and are not working now before the government sends out unemployment benefits.
Why don't we just leave a bucket of, bushel baskets of money out around the Capitol building, let people come by and pick it up? Nobody seems to care about all this money that we are spending. I mean, really, even Republicans don't seem to be as involved in it any. Used to be at least Republicans at least sounded like they were fiscally responsible. This is nonsense. It's kind of a combination. And, we've got two things going on. We got the Democrats being elected to the White House and now controlling the legislative branch as well. And they're spending like drunken sailors. And then we got the virus, which is another reason to spend a lot of money. And now we're up to what? Are we up to $28 trillion in our national debt, something like that? I mean, this must be, for somebody like you, this must be depressing.
It is. And in some ways, it's actually worse than you characterize. So some of these rules were intentionally drawn in a way to pay benefits without looking, without checking. So I mentioned the disaster or the pandemic unemployment assistance program. That was modeled after another program called disaster unemployment assistance. That's the program that kicks into place in localities when there's a hurricane or a tornado or something like that. And that program says within 3 weeks of somebody applying for those disaster benefits, the person has to prove that they were previously working in order to continue collecting disaster checks. Makes sense, right? You want to get money out the door quickly. You want to help people and, you know, get money in their pockets if their town was struck by a tornado, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program didn't even have that within three weeks, you have to establish that you were working requirement. And that was at the start. So that was last March. So, you know, clearly the program is not designed to flush money out into the economy as quickly as possible without paying much attention to who is on the receiving end. And now, still a year later, we're only starting to get to the point where the program is asking, hey, were you actually employed? Can you actually show us evidence that you were employed in order to maintain your eligibility for this program?
Wow. I just remember what Ronald Reagan once said. He said, there are 10 scary words. I'm from the federal government, and I'm here to help. And now, more than ever, you can see how true those words ring out, right? You know, it's just amazing, just amazingly depressing as well. Thank you so much, Matt, for coming on and talking to us about this. I hope we can figure out something somehow to get some normalcy and sense back into all of this. Hope to talk with you again.
Likewise, thank you.
All right, Matt Weidinger of the American Enterprise Institute. So let us take our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the border crisis. We're going to talk about lack of Asians in the executive cabinet positions of Joe Biden and other things with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back, and of course, we've been monitoring this tragedy in Boulder, Colorado. 10 people were killed at a grocery store there, and the policeman that died was the father of 7 children. 7 children. It just breaks your heart. To hear about these kinds of things. I don't know if we've got any kind. I guess they're giving an update right now, Ed, on what went on. All I know is the guy, there was a picture of a guy coming out. I think he only had, I was wearing a pair of shorts or a pair of pants, and he was bloody, looked like he was bleeding.
Well, he had from what I read, he had tactical gear on.
Oh, well, he did. So he okay.
I don't know if he was taking off, trying to slip out with the rest of the, you know, people running out of the store or what the deal was. So
yeah,
we've got to find out what the motive is.
We don't know about the motive. We don't know anything about it.
Because it could be that he's targeting shoppers, you know, and we'll have to start some programs for shoppers. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Of course, the left is going to bring up guns.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to start before they even identify the bodies.
I think it was just a rifle, was what I understand. It wasn't any high-powered AR-15.
Just a normal rifle.
Yeah,
okay,
just a normal.
Yeah. Well, the left is going to bring up that we got to start banning more guns. This is the kind of thing. Now we're going to have a week or so of talking about all of that. Anyway, we got the proprietor of the barber pole with us, Andrew Ceraci. And Andrew, you know, he's a big Second Amendment guy. Andrew, you just know with this horrible thing that occurred in Boulder, Colorado, that the left is going to jump on it. They're probably almost gleeful about it.
To solve this problem,
yep.
Bring back the Nut House.
The Nut House.
Years ago, they used to have insane asylums.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
The people that had problems, people knew ahead of time they were in these places. Then the ACLU got rid of these places when I was a kid. They said, you can't do that. So when the big pharmacy comes out with, you know, we can sedate these people with the drugs. They got rid of the crazy houses, started sedating these people, and the drugs probably make most of them even worse.
Now, when you say bring back the crazy houses, I know you don't mean exactly bring back the crazy houses, but you're saying that when people do things like this, you put them in a certain kind of institution. And is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Okay.
Hey, Paul, look at the last one. Was it there last week? The kid that killed the 7 people there, 21-year-old?
Yeah, you know, you're talking about Atlanta.
His parents turned him in. They knew he had mental problems.
Yeah, but a little late, didn't they? Turned him in a little late.
Well, they turned him in after that.
Yeah.
I mean, what else could they have done with him before? He probably went through the system, Paul.
Yeah, he probably did.
He probably went through the system. They turned him loose again.
Yeah, whatever they're doing with these
As a matter of
drugs
fact,
and programs, they don't work all the time.
As a matter of fact, I was talking to my brother last night, and he was telling me that one of those two kids that burned the white guy in Rochester, New York, alive, they said he had a record that was unbelievable, and the judge released him a week before.
That's terrible. Okay, there are so many terrible things.
Go back to the courts, Paul. These people that do these stuff have been through the system.
Yeah.
The judges keep letting them out. Let them out.
Right.
And there's your problem. It's not the guns. The guns don't kill people, Paul. People kill.
That's true. But you just know they're going to be bringing this up.
Oh, well, they got nothing else to
Of course, you know, if somebody in that store, you know, some righteous person in the store had a gun, they might have been able to turn around and shoot the guy before he killed 10 people.
Right.
So,
got to shoot back, like Trump said.
Exactly right. So, of course, these kinds of things come around and bite you in the backside. But you know how the Democrats talk about diversity? Well, now Joe Biden, the Washington Post, a reporter on the Washington Post is calling out Biden. No Asians in the top-level cabinet post.
You know, Paul, why don't these people quit saying black, Asian, Italian? How about we need Americans?
I agree. And I don't
know if Americans. I don't care what they are, what color they are. If they got the qualifications, they get the job.
Exactly. Of course. Now in a place just north of Chicago, a city of Evanston, they have voted to pay black people reparation money, believe it or not. They got to figure out how they're going to do it. And they're going to have people that they contact prove that they've in some way, shape, or form been discriminated against. I imagine you could say, somebody looked at me funny at the grocery store. I felt I was being discriminated. Okay, we'll put you on the list to get some money.
You know, and they were saying they're giving them $25,000 a piece, and they complained. They said that's not enough.
There you go.
You know, they need to stop all of this.
Of course.
If you want reparations, go get a job. You get all the reparations you want.
Exactly.
For a week, you get your paycheck. Everybody thinks this country is free, free, free. There's nothing free, Paul.
I'm just counting down the hours until your buddy Joe Biden has his press conference. I believe it's going to be Thursday night. So my question is, I know that there's a Joe Biden double. So do we bring out the double? Now, yeah, the guy that they bring out, they put a lot of pancake makeup on him, make him look real white. And they got him, you know, these days with computer technology, you can make anybody say and do anything.
Of course. And that's what they're going to do. They can't put him there. This guy is a refried bean. What do you think about Kamala Harris the other day coming to Jacksonville saying, don't worry, Floridians, help is on the way.
Yes.
Yeah, what the hell help do you think she's going to bring?
And what help do we need in Florida from her?
We don't need no help here. The only help we need is to keep her out of here.
I agree with that one. She was also caught laughing when somebody asked her when she's going to go down and visit the southern border. She started to laugh. It was a nervous laugh, but, you know, she doesn't have any answer for that because they're not going to go.
There's no crisis, Paul. Everything is fine.
I know.
Under control. The moron opens his mouth, Dom, come on in. We got free food, free money, free housing.
So Donald Trump was on Fox News. I don't know if you caught it.
Yes, I did.
A couple of days ago. And, you know, he said, look, I told you this would happen. I told you guys this would happen.
The guy has been right about everything he has predicted and said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a blind person can see what's going on. Let's be real.
Yeah.
You have open borders. People are coming here. How come I don't see anybody running to Venezuela?
I know. Exactly.
I mean, they got nothing to give away no more.
They don't have any borders, probably. They wish people would come in. Of course, everybody would leave. I imagine they do have borders. It's to keep people in.
Yeah,
you know
what? What do you think about the Sidney Powell the other day?
So tell us about Sidney. That's one of the lawyers.
They're saying she's saying that everything she said she made up.
Who said?
She got that $1.3 billion lawsuit against her. So she says she said that to get the people going.
Okay, back up on this. Sidney Powell said she made things up. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
Why did she make things up?
I have no idea. She says she did it in order to get the people roused up and
really
going. But, yeah, she used her First Amendment right in order to say this, and she didn't say nothing wrong. I guess she's trying to get out of that lawsuit. She wants the lawsuit dropped.
Okay. Well, that doesn't help the credibility of Trump about the voter fraud, does it?
No. I mean, it's ridiculous what these people are and what they're doing. Is this the caliber of people that we have in America today?
What does Donald Trump say about Sidney Powell?
I haven't heard anything about that yet.
Holy Toledo.
I just read about this morning, Paul.
Oh, boy. I haven't heard a word about that.
What is this country coming to? People making up things. I mean, you don't have to make up anything. Look out your windows. You're going to see what's going on in this country. We're in a tailspin.
We are.
Look at the price of lumber, Paul. Do you see what happened to lumber? Have you bought a piece of wood lately?
I haven't, but I've noticed that the price of groceries is going up. And, of course, when
everything.
And when you tax, like we've talked about, when you start suppressing oil and gas and the pipeline, everything is brought by a truck or, you know, everything, transportation of any product. So you're going to be paying more for everything.
Well, Dictator Joe just signed another executive order yesterday, I believe, to stop drilling in the Gulf completely.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, I mean, what do you think? $4 a gallon by July. You people better take your Biden bumper stickers off the back of your car, because the insurance companies will not cover damage with a Biden sticker on your car
right
after July the 1st.
As I say, on Thursday night, Biden will hold a press conference. It'll be amazing just to see how that works. I mean, I hope.
I think some of
the mainstream media are upset with him now about his lack of transparency and showing up.
Lack of brains, Paul.
Well, we know that.
Let's be real.
Yeah,
these people that voted for him have got to have Biden remorse, because you know what? If you look at the cars that the Biden stickers are on, you can tell the people hardly have money to begin with. But they've been living on their unemployment and every other benefit they get, so they're happy. But when this all stops, they're going to be broke.
Yeah. Yeah. We just had a guy on prior from the American Enterprise Institute talking about the fraud going on with unemployment benefits. But when you keep sending money out to people, it's a disincentive, as you well know, for them to go and get back to work. And we're printing money left and right. There's chaos down at the border. We've got people from the Biden administration that are being brought back by, from the Obama administration that are being brought back by Joe Biden. So we're going to go through the same old thing we went through with Obama. And now I hear that Biden is conferring on a regular basis with Obama.
Of course. He's been conferring with him since the day he said he was going to run.
Right.
And that was the thing, you know, Biden is Obama's puppet. That's pretty bad.
So do you still think that Donald Trump is eyeballing a possible run for a congressional position so that he can eventually get into the House and they can kick Nancy Pelosi out?
Well, they better pray to God Trump does something. Because this country is not going to take 2 years of this crap.
Yeah,
it's in a tailspin now, and you can hardly pull it out as it is.
Mm-hmm. So is your business here? We come into the springtime, and things are fairly open here in Florida. How are things going with your business, Andrew?
You know, Paul, I wake up, I go to work every day, and take the day as it comes, and we'll make it work.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't sit there and say I'm waiting for my check.
No, I know you don't.
I go open my door. Yep. Whenever I make that day, I live within those means.
You
Paul,
do.
And I'm growing from there.
And go ahead.
I have a friend who got a restaurant, Paul. He can't get people to get in there and wait tables. You know why?
They're getting free money.
They're unemployment and going to the beach.
Yeah, there you go.
Cut it off. Make them go to work. You see the unemployment rate drop.
Exactly right. Pull those unemployment checks. Pull them out. Stop it.
Get off your lazy rear end. Do not let the Democrats lead you, because they're leading themselves into a hole, and if you follow them, you're going to fall right in it with them.
You are right. I agree. Thank you so much, my friends. Always a pleasure to talk with you. We're going to talk again on Friday, of course.
We'll get to see about Joe's dynamite.
How long
is he going to be on? I figure 10, 15 minutes.
If he doesn't fall asleep.
I don't know if it's the dummies there, because it looked like the Undertaker put the makeup on him.
Well, that's
true. Like you said, he'll look white as can be. And you know, if he doesn't trip walking up the red carpet, you know it's definitely the double.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to look for the people in the background while he's talking. I want to see who's throwing their voice.
I would. They probably get that one famous one there that has a dummy that looks just like Guy. I can't think of his name. Matter of fact, they might use his dummy.
You're not talking about Paul Winchell and Jerry Mahoney, no?
No.
Some new guy?
Ventriloquist. I can't think of his name. The guy is famous. He's really, really good.
Is he doing it these days?
Oh, he's got a dummy that looks just like Biden. They do him all the time.
I got to look for him.
John Durham. Durham is his name.
Oh, okay, John Durham.
Jeff Durham. The guy is fantastic, but he'll be the one there with his dummy in front of the microphone throwing his voice. Believe me. Go look at that dummy and tell me it's not Joe Biden.
Oh, I got to look for this. I'm going to look that up. All right. Thank you very much, Andrew, and we'll talk again on Friday.
We'll have a lot to talk about.
I know we will.
Paul.
Right, you are so right.
Bye-bye.
All right. There he goes. The Master Barber himself. We're going to take our break. When we come back, another edition of Campus Quackery. Rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's got to be rock and roll music. If you want to dance with me. This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back to the final segment, Free to Work. By the way, we're here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. And you can listen to us again, or maybe even the first time if you would like, on our podcast. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. That's our website, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed has all of our shows podcasted for your dining and dancing pleasure. Right at the top, click on the podcast button. There you go, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, so I've never understood this. They're playing football in high school, and they're crashing against each other, these kids, you know, out on the high school field. And the cheerleaders, and then you got the band. But a 17-year-old senior there, Sarah Moreta, at Mission Viejo High School in Orange County, California, was scheduled to sing the national anthem before the homecoming game. But just hours before the game was set to start, she was told she could not due to the COVID-19 crisis. Now, yeah, I mean, what the hell? She's going to go out there and stand in front of a microphone and sing the national anthem. There's got to be another reason why they wouldn't allow. They got the cheerleaders out there. They got the band. The choir was able to sing. What's going on with the national anthem?
All the pro sports, they're all recorded. The national anthem's recorded at a different time. It's not done live.
Not done live anymore. No. Yeah. I used to like the bands playing, you know.
Yeah.
Even though it was never a perfect sound because you're standing out there out in the air, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
They were always a little off key, but it was always kind of fun to listen to them. So anyway, this girl was devastated. Her mother said this was her opportunity to sing in front of the school. She had been practicing and really getting excited about it. Then it was on the day itself of the game that the school reversed course. So she must have really been, I mean, you know, from the tops to the lows. Anyway, just kind of a strange deal. You always suspect that there's something to do with the national anthem. You know, very, very, very sad to say. So, we played Twilight Zone at the beginning of our show today, and there's a reason for it. We're going to do a top 10 in a few minutes about UFO sightings. But the United States has evidence of UFOs breaking the sound barrier without a sonic boom and making maneuvers impossible with known technology. Now, who is saying this? The former director of National Intelligence. Not just some wacko off the street that's saying it. John Ratcliffe. He served as Donald Trump's director of National Intelligence. He said that many of the incidents that are being reported have no easy explanation. There's going to be a forthcoming report detailing what the U.S. government has observed. But Ratcliffe says there are a lot more sightings than have been reported. Some of them have been declassified. And he said, when we talk about sightings, we're talking about objects that have been seen by the Navy or the Air Force or have been picked up on satellite imagery. And they're difficult to explain. He said, movements that are hard to replicate, that we don't have the technology for, or traveling at speeds that exceed the sound barrier without a sonic boom. Well, I've always thought, you know, we would be pretty, what is the word, full of ourselves to think that we're the only planet in the entire universe that that has life like we have, right?
And I have a different spin on that.
Okay.
I know our number one goal is to try to find out if there is other life out there. You know, we're on Mars. You know, we're hoping that some Martian walks by the camera or gives us the finger or whatever.
Yeah, that would be something.
But what if we get what we wanted and we find another species out there, sort of like us, whatever. But what if their technology is way ahead of ours? And they want to know where the signal's coming from or whatever, or the drone came from. And they follow it back to Earth. And they decide Earth would be a better place for them to live. And they are not as friendly as we are.
Oh!
What if that something like that happened?
Well, those are the things that science fiction movies are made
well,
of.
Well, no. I mean, like you just
they
said.
They want to take over our planet?
We'd have to be ignorant to think that we're the only life out there.
But what if they're not? So you're saying that they might be bad people? Bad. Well, and they want to take over and kind of get rid of us. And
why do they always aliens have to say, "Hey, we finally found you. Come on over for a cup of tea."
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. What if they're on a planet that's destroying itself and they need to find a new place to live? Who knows?
That's what scares me.
I mean, the technology. Look what we're doing in the last 50 years, if that.
Now that doesn't keep you awake at night, does it?
No, it doesn't keep me awake. I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Right. Asteroid could end us all.
Right.
You know.
I would give anything to know, though, if there was life. If there was some way that we could, then you know, it's not in our. It's pretty clear that in our galaxy, our solar system, with our one sun and our planets, that we're probably the only one with the life that we have, but. Outside, you know, trillions of miles away, we got all, every star is a sun, and every sun probably has planets.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some.
What if the rover that's on Mars right now, you know that's going to come back.
Okay, right.
Okay, because we don't know what happened to Mars. Supposedly there was water, there was things there, supposedly they think things lived on Mars. What if some disease, virus, whatever, wiped that planet out?
Could be.
And it's still there, and we bring it back on the thing.
That's again, what science fiction movies are made of.
I don't know.
Now you got me. Now maybe I won't sleep at night. This is distressing. All right. Anyway, it's time for our top 10, and these are the top 10 UFO sightings Basically, they occurred in the 20th century and some of the 21st. But Newsweek magazine compiled a list, so I thought it'd be fun. So here we go. Number 10. This is called the Sheriff Deputy Johnson Incident. It happened in August 1979. In the early hours of the day, a sheriff encountered what he described as a white ball of light while driving on a rural section of a highway. After diving toward the bright, brilliant light, which hovered 3 to 4 feet from the ground, Johnson woke up in a ditch. Half an hour later, his patrol car had suffered superficial damage. It kind of reminds me of that movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Anyway, all right, number 9. Loring Air Force Base sighting, October 75. On two successive nights, service members reported seeing a UFO hovering over Loring Air Force Base. An object described as a cigar-shaped craft was reportedly seen on radar. Okay, number 8. Delphos Ring Incident, November 1971. 16-year-old man claimed to have seen a glowing object hovering over a specific area close to his family farm in the early evening. When he went to fetch other witnesses, the object had vanished. However, an eerie glowing ring was found where the UFO had been. Number 7. The Valensole UFO sighting, July 1965. Dubbed Francis Roswell, this sighting constitutes a close encounter. A guy claimed he saw two humanoid aliens land a spherical UFO in a field. Then they exited the craft. He said he was left paralyzed when one of the beings pointed a cylindrical instrument at him. The pair then flew away. Okay.
You know, condense this, you get 2 minutes.
Okay, number 6. The Washington Flap, July 52. Two separate occasions, planes scrambled over Washington after UFOs sighted on radar at Andrews and Bowling Air Force Base. Number 5. Gotta go quick. Ufologist claims to have spotted a UFO on Mars. Number 4. Multiple witnesses in Texas reported inexplicable objects moving through the sky or bright lights. Number 3. Loveland UFO case, multiple witnesses saw an egg-shaped object or a large flash of light moving across the sky, small town of Texas.
What year?
This was November 1957.
Okay.
Yeah. One witness told police the passing object had interfered with the electronics in his car. Number 2. Kenneth Arnold UFO sighting, June 1947. A pilot sighting of 9 circular-type objects flying in formation at a speed judged to be more than twice the speed of sound. And number 1. Roswell, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. All right. July 1947. Hundreds of witnesses claiming to have some connection claimed an alien craft crash-landed near a ranch in Roswell, New Mexico, with one or more dead extraterrestrials being inside.
And all those nothing very recently within the last 10 years. You know why?
Why?
Because everybody, except Paul Malloy,
I know,
has a camera phone. And you can quickly get it undocumented.
Exactly right. That is so true. I agree with you. All right. Thank you for listening. We will be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.